It's a song from Aruba, our harvest festival corn song and dance. What can we sing where we can dance song? 100 years ago today, on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, the Great War came to an end. 100 years ago today. I suppose for some that seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't, really. Some of you had parents who fought in that war. Uncles, older brothers, perhaps. A lot of us had grandparents or great-grandparents who fought in that war. And when it ended, Armistice Day, the 11th of November, people said it was the war to end war. They called it the Great War because surely we would not do it again. 11 years later, my great-grandfather, who'd fought in that Great War, read the signs of the times and took his family from Germany to the United States so his son would not fight in the war to come, because he knew another war would come again, and he was right, of course. And Armistice Day is now, in this country, Veterans Day, an acknowledgement, I suppose, that war goes on, that we will keep having veterans, that folks will continue to serve. And so today we mark the day and we honor those who have served. And so I will ask, if you are willing, if you have served in the armed forces, if you would rise in body or spirit so we could see you. Thank you. The day also asks us a question, and some of you have asked that question explicitly over decades. It asks the question, what happened to the dreams of peace forever, a war to end all wars? The Great War, after all, was fought for what exactly? For territory, for power over minor European provinces, for why did so many die? That's the question that Armistice Day asks uncomfortably, and Veterans Day at its best should make us wonder what for these are real people who volunteer to serve. What for? The wars we often think of, the Civil War and the Second World War, are actually the exceptions. The defeat of genocide and the liberation of the oppressed are not why wars usually start. It's usually politics and distractions and adventure, a fantasy of remaking the world, ideology and dreams of conquest wrapped in the language of righteousness. Veterans Day asks us, is it worth it for them who wear the uniform and who offer to serve? Is it right for them who have offered their lives? Is it just? At their worst, these military holidays glorify conquest. At their best, they provoke us to question our motives and our assumptions. Is it liberation or is it conquest? Some of the Spaniards who came to the New World thought they were coming for riches. They'd bring home the golden goblets. But the real riches were the papa, the potato. Other Spaniards, the priests, the papas, thought they were coming to liberate the Indios Americanos, the indigenous Americans, from their pagan worship and convert them to Christianity. And many converted, and some sang the songs and kept doing the dances they'd always done, and many who refused were killed for refusing to worship that papa. In Central Africa, the colonizers came to help, to liberate, they said, the Africans from their pagan ways and make them civilized. They took out those sweet potatoes, those yams that needed so much space and took so long to grow, plant Irish potatoes, dense and fast-growing, full of carbohydrates and sugars, but empty of vitamins and minerals empty of meaning and history. Dreams of a better world, a war to end war, a victory over barbarism, a victory over an idea, as if such a thing is possible on a battlefield. This is better, more civilized, the colonist says. Don't eat that food, take this drug instead. Our ways are better. Don't fight back, we'll have to kill you if you do. Why do you have so many varieties of corn? Just grow this kind, it grows much faster. You'll have to pay for the patent every year. Don't use any of the wild seeds, that's not allowed. Why would you rotate your crops? That's weird, don't do that. Or leave a field fallow on occasion? That's just inefficient. Why would you play with your children? Just go to work. Why walk when you could drive and own a big house out in the suburbs? Don't worry about the smoke coming out the back. We know best. Those are the words of colonism, of supremacy, violence, grand ideological visions, dams that block up the rivers, fires that clear the forest, armies that march across the land, mono-agriculture and monoculture. These things are connected. Don't take my word for it. Indigenous Americans, Indigenous Africans, Indigenous Australians have been saying so since the beginning, have been saying, our ways work for us. Our plants are good for us. Our way of living is good for us. Where, they have said, is your gratitude for the gifts of the earth already given to you? Why do you insist on remaking the world with such brutality? Much of the original Thanksgiving story is a myth, which covers over a brutal history, a deeply brutal history. Part of the truth of that story is that the pilgrims couldn't grow jack. They didn't know what, I had another word in there, but I took it out. They didn't know what was safe to eat. They didn't know the land. They couldn't grow anything. They could not see the bounty that was around them. When they were invited to share a harvest festival, they still didn't see it. They didn't get it. They covered over with their own vision of Thanksgiving for God's grace, but they didn't learn the lesson. They just cleared more plants and tried to grow the crops they knew and killed those who tried to show them a different way. We come with fantasies of productivity and efficiency, of how the world should be, or how if we just used reason, we could solve everything. And I'm not letting us Unitarians off the hook here. We have done this too. Unitarians were assigned to work with the Ute people in Colorado and Utah. Our religious ancestors, though less brutal than the Spanish conquistadors, participated in an attempt to erase the Ute culture, language, agriculture, and religion. Unitarians were sent to civilize the Utes. The missionaries we sent were so bad at it, thankfully, that the Utes survived our efforts. But don't think that even to this day, we liberals don't sometimes harbor colonialist fantasies, utopian visions of liberal philosopher kings who rule with compassion and wisdom, but rule for sure. If only we were in charge, we'd say, then we'd do it right. Just because we bumble doesn't mean we don't sometimes want it. What I have learned from listening and reading and being in the room with post-colonial liberation theologians, with folks who question these narratives of conquest, is that there is another way. A way that isn't about conquering, but creating together. A way that isn't driven by a grand plan, but by small changes to nurture health and well-being. A way that starts first with noticing what you have, with gratitude for sweet potatoes. A way that celebrates with dances and festivals for the harvest, Bulia de Salou, a corn festival. The lyrics translate in part, we are going to sing and dance, everyone, people who fight for their rights. Acts of gratitude. Of dancing, of growing local food, of eating local food, of celebrating the everyday blessings. These are not quaint practices of no meaning. their acts of resistance against the machine that would grind us out. Acts of gratitude which center caregiving and simplicity and sustainability and freedom over against domination and ideology and consumption and tyranny. I am so thrilled that so many young women of color won on Tuesday night. I think that's pretty great. You win some, you lose some, but I think particularly of Charisse Davids, the Native American lesbian MMA fighter who won the district in Kansas. I don't know if you've seen a picture, but like she could bench me quite easily. Muscles are huge. But it's not just because of who they are, but because of a common thread in the argument that many of them were making. We are better than this. We have enough. We have enough wealth to feed the hungry. We have enough wealth to make sure people can go to college if they want to and have decent health care. We have enough. We just have to change the way we share what we have. Less ideology and more compassion. Call it the post-colonial liberation caucus. We don't need to replace nutritious sweet potatoes with fast-growing Irish potatoes. We don't have to submit to the machine or the whims of fear and hatred. We are better than this. We can live in a different way, a way in which the gifts of the earth, the beauty of the earth, inspires us not to control, but to the shared feast. We just have to uncurl from around the plate and make space for each other. There is plenty. We just have to uncurl from around the feast so others may come to the table. We are not the bearded Castilian, writes Pablo Neruda. We are the treasure trove of the people, the food of the people. There's a saying I love, maybe you've seen it going around. When you have more than you need, don't build a taller wall, build a longer table. Colonialism today is still sometimes accomplished with military might, tanks and helicopters used against protesters at Standing Rock, to name one example. But it is also now accomplished by corporations and advertising, by the temptations to the proximity to power, which seduce so many of us. It ideologizes ownership and control and progress and growth. Growth, growth, growth. The other day, someone reminded us that growth for the sake of growth alone is the genetic instructions of the cancer cell. Consume everything. It changes the way you think, doesn't it? So in this season of gratitude, of less light, falling leaves, and of reflection, in this season of memory and honor, what's the other way, the better way, and how might we practice it? How might we support the efforts of the post-colonial liberation caucus amongst us? Here are a few ideas. Eat sweet potatoes. Seriously, they're delicious and better for you. In general, if you can afford it, eat local food, whatever it might be. Buy at farmers markets. Grow your own if you've got the skill to do it. If you can't, and time and cost, the structure of corporate agribusiness and the way government subsidies work means many of us can't afford to do that, and that's okay. But whatever you can do to live more in harmony with the earth and in a less exploitive relationship to the interdependent web, do that. Plant native flowers, help pollinators thrive, eat less meat, that's an easy one. Support indigenous and liberationist voices and people. Learn more. If you're curious about this subject, start with a book called An Indigenous People's History of the United States. An Indigenous People's History of the United States. It will break your heart and awake your conscience. Keep learning. Listen to music and read books and watch things that grow your understanding. Trust people who are further away from centers of power. They usually understand the world a lot better. Practice gratitude and kindness for yourself as well as for others, for yourself. The ideology of consumption and destruction begins with the fiction that we are not enough, and so we need more. We're not rich enough, we're not powerful enough, we're not safe enough, not loved enough, not loved enough. That's the fiction, because together we are. Alone is hard, but together we are enough. And you are loved enough and lovable enough. Love your body and your heart and your life. Don't wear yourself out with fantasies of some utopia of how life is supposed to be. Make small, compassionate movements toward health. Be gentle. Dance and sing for the harvest. Celebrate. Celebration of the bounty already present is an act of resistance against the machine of control and conquest. And eat sweet potatoes. They're delicious, seriously. Give thanks. Give thanks. The world we live in is deeply broken. There's always this hunger for more and more, a fear of the other, an approach of conquest. We have to defeat them. What can save us from this? What can build a better world? Small acts of gratitude and compassion, kindness and sustainability. Not to wipe the slate clean or conquer everything. Small acts of gratitude and kindness. Trusting each other and the earth, living differently, will not be saved by dreams of conquest or utopian fantasies. We won't. It's not complication that will build a better world, but simplicity. It's not strength that will lead the new way, but love. The world is rebuilt not all at once, but one day at a time. One election at a time, one act of service at a time, one donation at a time, one gesture of kindness at a time, one song at a time, one feast at a time. It begins not with longing for more, but with gratitude for what is. It begins when we sing our thanks and praise, for all life is a gift, when we share our bounty and remember that we are enough when we feast. It begins when we sing with the earth and each other. Let us rise in body or spirit and sing together.